in 2005, three colleagues and I started a group called the Population Health Project in Seattle, Washington, and it was specifically to teach about social determinants of health in this school system, but also to talk to health departments about social determinants of health. So our mission statement is to promote dialogue, debate, and action around the ways in which political, economic, and social inequalities interact to affect the health of our society. We educate youth and adults about the links between social justice and health equity and use this knowledge to advocate for social change. So today I'm going to talk about our approach using the population health concept, social determinants of health concepts, and critical health literacy. And then I'm going to talk about the five modules that we've taught so far at four different venues. Seattle Girls School from 2005 to 2007, Puget Sound Early College for 2 years in a row, University of Washington, 3 years, and then CMAR Community Health Centers we just started this year. And then I'll tell you about our findings and challenges. So the case for the population health approach, I love Dennis Raphael's paper because he puts it succinctly in one paper. Individual behavior health factors explain small proportion of disease compared to societal factors. The individual health behavior approach has a limited effect in disadvantaged populations because it fails to address issues of why the behaviors are adopted, and it blames the victim. In other words, disadvantaged people are blamed for illness when the responsible factors are outside of their control. There's lots of social determinants of health models out there. I use Dahlgren and Whitehead's 1991 just because it's easy to understand. I think of it as an onion, and in the center we have age, sex, and hereditary factors that define your health. But the outside part of the onion, the social determinants of health, such as food, housing, education, work environment, etc., are the influencing factors that really determine our health. Critical health literacy. Nutbeam, in 2000, defined health literacy as three levels. So there's functional health literacy, and this is what is mostly taught in the school system and at several health departments. And it's about the transmission of factual information. So you tell someone not to have unprotected sex, you give them some information about having unprotected sex, and then you expect them to not have unprotected sex. Okay, then there's interactive health literacy, and that's about developing personal skills and problem-solving, decision-making skills to act independently on the advice you receive. So if you get pregnant, you know exactly what to do. You know, maybe you're going to go to Planned Parenthood and get some advice and then act independently on that advice. Now, the red line is about critical health literacy, and this is not taught, as far as we know, in very many parts of the United States. And it is about the individual and community capacity to act, to understand and act on the social determinants of health. And we believe that requires social action on policies and practices. So health literacy, the typical U.S. health education model, there's the downstream factors are ones that can be manipulated by the individual, and as in schools, the functional functional literacy approach is taught, and then sometimes we're lucky if the interactive approach is taught, and then in health centers and departments, the degree to which individuals can obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services is presented, and they usually treat individual over tackling upstream causes. PHP has a vision. We want to write a population health curriculum manual. We have done, the ones that are in blue are the five modules that we've taught so far. So we have two core modules. One is called Introduction to Population Health, and it's about health inequities. And then the second is Introduction to Health Advocacy. We actually wrote that just recently when we realized that our students were having trouble implementing action. So we actually started a health advocacy framework. And then we've also taught food security, global health and art activism, and environmental justice. We're in the process of starting addiction and gender inequality. And then the black are all the chapters that we hope to write and teach. So the first, Introduction to Population Health, we ask, what is population health? How is it measured? And so we basically say, okay, how is it measured, like infant mortality or life expectancy versus individual measurement, such as weight or blood pressure or blood sugar. And then we introduce them to the social determinants of health. We examine what their values are around inequality. We examine the issues of health disparities, and we teach students how to measure and read graphs and interpret. And then we have an exercise called causes of causes diagramming, which is about looking at the root causes of a health disparity. And this is just an example of the causes of causes diagramming that every single student does, no matter how old they are. We even do this in health departments. In fact, this was done at Seymour Community Health Center on drug addiction. Okay, so then our next module, civic engagement advocacy, taking action. We examine what is social change. We define civic engagement. We introduce them to an activism framework, which I'll show you in a second. And then the most important part of each work that we do with all of our students is to take action. They have to take action or they can't complete the course. And they take an action on the root cause of the diagram that they've already done. And then they have to pick criteria for choosing the right action plan, methods on how to implement the action plan, and then culturally competent entry into the community. So this is our framework, and it's really, really simple. And I admit that, but you'll see why in a second. So we explain that advocacy works on a continuum, and that you can be an advocate anytime during your life on anything that you're passionate about. And your passion, so as an individual, let's say you care about homelessness, you can give $100 to a homeless shelter as an individual. And as a service, you maybe would address, which addresses people, you might go work for a homeless shelter. But what we're really doing is pushing all of our people to become, to address societal structures, to address why homelessness exists. And that's where we want them to take action. And so we ask them to be activists in this course. And I have to say that activist is a really loaded word. And we have to unpack the word a lot with all of our students because there's a lot of them that think that the word is dangerous, that they might go to jail, it means protesting. It's a word that really needs careful unpacking. So they can't stand that linear continuum, so I asked them to draw their own advocacy framework, and the one on the left is just seventh grade student saying, activism, dear Mr. President, the war isn't immoral. And then the other student is just defining what she means by social change from an individual point of view, a community service point of view, and an activism point of view. We also do this at the University of Washington at the School for Urban Planning. And the two students on the right, for their senior thesis, taught a whole class on reading for social change. And then when they were finished with the course, they were really upset because they felt like, just because they had read about social change, they didn't feel like they had the tools to implement social change. So they asked us to come into the course for a 3-hour workshop to help them develop some tools to implement social change. And then these are some life mapping exercises that we did with them to examine how they had been advocates in the past and how they wanted to be advocates in the future. And then those are their words that they use for describing what they want to do. Okay, so back in 2005, this is our very first module, food security, at Seattle Girls School, which is in the Central District of Seattle. It's a poor minority part of town and this school is an independent middle school where 30% to 40% of the students are on financial aid. So we did it as a complement to the ongoing individual nutrition course. It was an introduction to population health versus individual health. We did an overview of food security, malnutrition, and overnutrition. We looked at local and global data, and Communities Count is a really, really good local manual on social indicators across King County, and it's actually now Communities Count 2005. And we did have a civic action component, which was actually these kids were sixth graders, so they just made posters about their research concern. So in 2006, we did one on environmental justice. I'm going to actually be giving a talk on the entire curriculum this afternoon at 2:30. But we did an exercise on voice and what it was like to be heard or not heard. We defined EJ, the environment, and the precautionary principle. We did a trip down to a Superfund site and to a low-income minority community. And we had a stakeholder debate. This is Global Health and Art Activism course started at Puget Sound Early College in 2006. And their final project, their action was that they had to do research on a global health project, then they had to do a poster and display it at the university library and be able to talk about it when community experts came in and asked them questions. Now, we thought that they did a pretty good job here, but actually we didn't think they did enough. So the following year, they studied global health, but then we asked them to find out two issues that were really important in Federal Way, where the college is, And then they had to, they picked teen violence and crime, teen crime, and then they wrote a play and had to perform it at Federal Way Transit Center. And they did it twice. And they had to perform it in front of all the people getting on and off the buses. So they did it over and over and over again for several hours. And it was cold. it was really cold. And then the next group was teen pregnancy. Okay, evaluations. How are we doing? So these are the evaluations pre and post test for Puget Sound Early College. Now, the first question we asked them is just in the beginning is how much education, health education they've ever had. And as you can see, 61% have had it once, and it's usually around food, exercise, STDs, drugs, CPR, first aid. We asked them whether they've heard concepts like population health, social determinants of health, health disparities, root causes before. Most of them haven't, and most of them cannot give a good explanation. But by the time we're finished with the course, about 94% can, and they give very good examples. Qualitatively, how has your thinking changed about health? Yes, this just isn't a normal health class that I would take in high school. This is what a health class should really look like. Yes, I realize that America is number one in a lot of things, and they are not all good. Yes. Yes, everything can affect the population's health, not just individual choices. No, I know that as a world we are not that healthy. I would like to know why I should care. 17%. Are you better prepared to make social change now than before this class? And this was polled to UW students as well as Seattle Girls School 7th grade students. Yes, I have learned all the skills to take matters into my own hands and create change. 95%. Nope, 5%, but more aware of my limitations. Critical health literacy application. Thank you, almost done. Okay, so I know this is complicated, but just read down to the bottom on module content. So what we're really trying to figure out is on civic action, what from educational activity, we've done posters, letters to the editor, public meetings, plays. We're trying to, from an individual outcome point of view, we want the individuals to be able to communicate information better to others, feel more able to take action, make better lifestyle choices, and have better self-efficacy. We have no idea what the outcomes in the community will be as a result of our work. Challenges. Sensitive issues around race and income. There are oftentimes, as everyone would, we are four white women that started this organization. There are oftentimes when we go into a community where many of the people are immigrants and many of them are black, and they say, "You're just a white girl, you have no idea what's going on in our lives." We understand that, and we've taken mediation and facilitation courses, and we often have people helping us teach the course, people of color help us teach the course when we get into these race issues. I already told you about activism. Evaluations, we have three students at the University of Washington that have helped us develop a process evaluation instrument showing that model takes time. Resistance, we've had resistance getting into the public school system because they have national health education standards that do not include critical health literacy. Okay? And then health departments, what we're finding, one, is that they're out of time, they're siloed, and they really do not understand the connection between social determinants of health and the work that they do. They don't understand that connection. And that's really what we're trying to do, is go into health departments and talk about, well, here, let's talk about this. Let's go through the root causes. Let's talk about what you can do in the community. And then getting the word out has been, it's been 2 years, and we feel like we want to be more popular, but hopefully. And that's it. Thank you.